right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 790. My name is Lisa Sheps. I'm back from the dead, and I am joined, also back from the dead, by my indomitable, wonderful, beautiful, and tan co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
More than a hound is sick of fleas.
It is Wednesday, July 10th, 2024. On the show today, we have Magnolia Musical Theater and their show, Footloose. Then we'll also be talking into the Tubu Fest. And then later, we'll be talking to City Theater and their show, Long Day's Journey into Night. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Points West. How was that for timing? That's done. We are. Boy, the song ended. No time at all. Nicole Shiro, welcome back.
Lisa Sheps. Oh, I have to turn my
It has been ages.
It's been 3 weeks.
I think it's been 4 weeks.
No, it's been three, but that's okay.
I believe it's four.
But we can.
Yeah, we'll look it up. We'll have the fact checkers get on that. But I'm glad to have you back in the studio. And I wasn't here last week.
I know you were sick. I heard. Yeah. I got very worried about you.
I need to.
Shout out to the Tracy Schultz.
I need
right?
to shout out to the Tracy Schultz. He was my co-host, and I hosted from the telephone. That's a first on Offstage and On the Air.
Well, I co-hosted with you.
No, co-hosted, but I hosted.
You host. Yeah,
I hosted from.
I was like, I've co-hosted from the telephone.
I hosted. It was really good, and Tracy did a wonderful job. He took all my cues, and he's wonderful.
You
and
know why? Because he is a special co-host producer friend here.
He's the quintessential co-op professional.
He is.
So
shall I jazz hand for Tracy Schultz?
Please.
Okay.
That song that you just heard was, it's called That's How Sick I'm of Love from the show One Touch of Venus.
Are you that sick from love?
I was that sick from love. let me
you
tell you something.
You were missing me so much.
It was not a fun COVID-19 2 weeks. It went on forever.
Isn't that your
and
first
ever.
Time too?
It was my first time, and I'm still like.
So when I get sick tomorrow, I'm calling you and blaming
yeah,
you.
No, I'm testing negative. I would not come in here.
I know you wouldn't. It's Shiro and Shep, Sheps and Shiro.
I would like to thank Mr. Kim Simpson for another wonderful international folk
Always
bazaar.
Always spinning it.
All that music from 1984.
84 was the year of great movies.
I would know.
I constantly say that. Good year.
I wasn't even
Vintage
born.
Vintage year, Kim Simpson. Vintage year.
I wasn't even born then. Okay, let's introduce the folks that are here. We have quite a crew.
We've got a
here.
Potty in the house.
And I'm going to start with people that are not
so
next
good,
to
you're
the microphone
you're going
to
make me
right
give
now.
Up my microphone.
Mr. Andrew Cannata, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Rick Romer, hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Here we go. Lydia Margitza.
Yes,
I said
that's
it right.
Hello.
Look Emily Begley.
Hi there.
Jacob Bryan.
Hey, how are you?
And Tanner Trigg.
Hello, hello.
Tanner Trigg, that's a name.
Tanner Trigg, they're
that
all good
That is a
names.
Name. They're all good names, but sorry, Tanner Trigg wins. yeah, sorry to say that. So not a whole bunch happened. We're in that time.
The weird lull where they talk about little shows that may be coming. Is closing?
We're in that lull. And speaking of closing, Merrily We Roll Along.
It rolled along.
Away
it rolled.
Anybody here see it?
Raising your hand does not work
on the radio.
I did see it.
You saw this version of it.
Yes.
And?
It was excellent. I'm a big Daniel Radcliffe fan.
Okay.
And he was great, and so was Lindsay Mendez.
He's
and
so Jonathan charming.
Actually,
yeah, you got it. You can't say one without the other two.
They're all excellent.
Because they're now best friends.
I know.
So, no more. They're gone. There's some.
They have rolled along.
They have rolled along.
They rolled along.
There's some interesting articles in the newspaper of record. The one is it's five women who started a secret theater society. Did you read?
I read that, yes.
Didn't ask us, so yeah. I'm a little offended.
These are all women that worked at the Public and are now like big, big, powerful women in the theater. And they gave their little alliance a nickname called Women and Ambition because
have ambition and they're women.
Right, and ambition is not a good trait in women to some people.
Well, I disagree with those people.
Yes, I think these five women do as well.
I think so, everyone should have ambition.
So Maria Gayonis, who is now the artistic director at the Woolly Mammoth, Lear de Bessonnet, who's now working at Encores. Bessonnet ran the public works, the community-oriented stuff at the Public, which is very similar to Encores. Shanta Thotke, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, worked at Joe's Pub. Stephanie Yerba, who ran the Public's mobile unit and now is the artistic director of Baltimore Center Stage. Shanta Thotke is now the chief artistic officer at Lincoln Center. I mean, these are all like Mei Yin Wang. She did the Under the Radar Festival and is now programming at the Pearlman Performing Arts Center, which is where that new Cats thingamajig is playing right now. You laugh, but that is the subtitle.
I know what Jellicoe you're
Cats,
talking about.
The Cat Thingamajig.
The Cat Thingamajig so was classic.
Which we talked about it while you were gone. Has anybody seen that one?
No.
No. It got amazingly good reviews.
Oh, I know. And all my friends in New York were yelling at me that I have to go see it. I'm like, yeah, no, I have other... I mean, I would... Someone said, here, have tickets. Will you go? I'd be like, sure. Yeah. But I have other things on my agenda first. So. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're not going to talk about this article all that much, but you can find a link once I post the show at offstageonair.com, or you can go to the New York Times and find it there. It's set up as an interview. She, the woman who wrote the article, who I should give her credit for that, is the woman is Peter Marks. I just assumed it was a woman. I'm sorry. That's terrible of me. Peter Marks wrote it. Well, I don't know how Peter Marks identifies, so I don't know.
Are they related to Richard?
I'm going to say yes. don't know who that is, though.
Richard Marks? The songwriter? You know Richard Marks. You just don't realize you know Richard Marks.
Learned by now how ignorant I am of music?
No, you actually know Richard Marks without realizing you know Richard Marks.
Unless it's musical theater, I don't know it.
Yeah, no.
Or Meatloaf.
Yeah, you know Richard Marks. I'm telling you, you do. You just don't realize that's Richard Marks.
Anyway, he set this up. He interviewed each of them individually, and then they all got together, and they chit-chatted. And so read the article. It's really good. The Theater Hall of Fame has some new people for 2024.
Again, another phone call we did not get.
I know. We should be
getting a little insulted this year.
So this year, we got Donna Murphy, Stephen McKinley Henderson, William Finn, along with Elizabeth Ashley, Boyd Gaines, Donna Murphy, and Charles Bush.
I'm kind of surprised Donna Murphy's not in there already.
Yeah. Also, well, I don't think it's not all that old of an organization, is it? Like, anybody? Again,
maybe the last
shaking the head
years.
Doesn't work on the radio.
I'm failing the radio.
Yeah, you're not doing good so far. Also, David Rabe and Todd Haynes. What's interesting is I've said it on the show before, so I have a connection to Boyd Gaines. I used to play poker with him back in the day.
I was about to say, are we going to bring up Boyd?
Of course
yes!
We are. And I have a connection with Elizabeth Ashley because I saw her in Agnes of God.
Is she related to Laura?
Yes. I know who Laura Ashley is.
But you do?
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
All these 80s references.
I know.
It's an 80s day.
So here's another thing. With the closing of Merrily We Roll Along, for the first time in 37 years, did you see this about Hal Prince?
Yes. Tell me.
Yes.
Everybody's saying
nutty?
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. So somebody's telling me what I'm going to say.
It's the first time.
Get up close to that microphone.
It's the first time in 37 years that Sondheim and Angela Weber are not being represented on Broadway.
Well, you're close.
Hal Prince.
Sorry, that's right.
Hal Prince. But he was involved with both of those people quite a bit. Andrew Lloyd Webber beats him. Andrew Lloyd Webber has 44 years. But
isn't he Lord Webber?
Lord Webber.
Yeah.
That's right. So 1987, the musical Rosa began previews. I don't remember that musical. Anybody? Rick Romer's shaking his head, which doesn't work on the...
I don't
remember. Who was in
Rosa? I didn't look it up, so I don't know. But he has had his name attached on a playbill. And so this is an article by Playbill, so it's about Playbill. So I just thought that was
They're
interesting.
They're allowed to do that.
Yep. All right. I got a couple more things I want to talk about. Well, there's also another lovely article in here about Sardi's. Has anybody heard of the restaurant Sardi's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We took Morgan when she was a kid, and she still talks about that all the time.
I went to Sardi's on the...
She's our roving reporter in New York.
That's true. I went to Sardi's many times when I lived there, but when I... the show that I did on Broadway that was a huge flop, when the...
The Wall.
When the... The what?
Wasn't it The Wall?
No, it was called Oh Brother.
No, the wall there with the failures?
Yes. Oh, no, you're thinking of Joe Allen's.
That was Joe Allen's.
That's
okay,
Joe Allen's.
You,
and we did not make the Joe Allen's wall, which the playwright was very upset that we did not make the Joe Allen's wall. I believe Merrily We Roll Along, which opened at the same time as us, did make that wall.
Yes.
But so it's interesting you say that, because when I think of two theater restaurants that are like known to the public versus the insiders... Those are the two.
I agree.
Spent a lot of time at Sardi's and Joe Allen's. But when our show was a flop, and the cast party went from a open bar to a cash bar, we went to Sardi's and drank a lot.
A whole bunch. Anyway.
So there's a lovely article about the history of Sardi's. And they, you know, it's just such a staple. It's been around since, I think, hold on, I'm not going to lie, since 1927.
I was supposed to say the Roaring Twenties.
And it had a really rocky road. It almost closed several times. It was very close to bankruptcy. The Schuberts bailed them out. Mm-hmm. Do you think, so have they always been in this location where they are now?
No, they have not.
No, they have not.
I knew that.
They were in on 43rd Street, I think.
I believe.
And then they were going to tear down the, and that was called the Little Restaurant. And then they switched to the Big Restaurant.
Well, most of the place, just like, you know, Madison Square Garden, everybody thinks that's the fourth Madison Square Garden in a fourth different location.
True.
So that's, you know.
There you go.
They like to do that up
I'll
east.
I'll tell you what, when I think of Sardi's, I think of Madison Square Garden.
I'm just saying, like, those iconic places in New York aren't always where you think they were.
Who here in our group of studio audience has been to Sardi's?
I have.
I'm raising my hand.
Okay. None of the
performers. Not even half.
Not.
Right.
I believe there might be a field trip in your future, folks.
They're known for their martinis. they actually were the back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, they made 2,000 martinis a day.
That's a lot.
Guess how many they served for lunch? Lunch. This is like day drinking.
I'm going to say 1,200 of those 2,000.
Yeah. No, 500, but that's still a lot.
That's still a lot.
That's still a lot.
You know why? Because if you have a cocktail or two, the deal gets done.
Yep.
And you don't have to drive home.
No, you don't.
Who is a Schmigadoon fan?
Oh, I think...
Nobody?
Oh, nobody in this room, really?
Really?
This is shocking.
Look, there's crickets here.
Really?
How are y'all not... Y'all are all musical
Lisa,
theater performers.
I want to know about Schmigadoon. Tell me what you have to
well,
say.
Well, so we talked about this before. So as people, you know, normal, really good people know... it got canceled for its third season after they had already decided what it was going to be. So the first season were those musicals of the 50s and 60s. The second season, which I wasn't all that crazy about, was the 80s. It was Les Mis and Sweeney Todd. This one was going to be called... Oh, and finally, Cinco Paul and Ken Dario... told everybody what it was about. It was in the can, or it wasn't in the can, it was written. And we heard about this a few weeks ago because just lost his name.
Alan?
Yes, Alan Cumming let it slip what his character
he
was going to be.
He has loose lips. He likes to let it all...
But he let it out. But so now it's official. He posted something on July 8th. Mm-hmm. It was Into the Schmuds. Into the Schmuds. Of course, we had Into the Woods. Other shows were Cats, Assassins, Big River, Beauty and the Beast, Hedwig, Labyrinth, Sunset Boulevard, Little Mermaid, Little Shop, Rent, An American Tale, Barnum, lots of stuff. Sideshow, Phantom, City of Angels, Sunday in the Park, Les Mis.
All good stuff. It's very sad.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, no, he was talking all about this and telling, they read the scripts, they saw sets, and
then. Who was the character? Who was he playing?
Alan Cummings. He said it, and I don't remember
what it was. I don't remember what it was either. Was it, he was spilling out all the secrets, and I was like.
But there will be a little stage debut. I think it's a concert thing at the Kennedy Center in 2025. Okay. The final thing I want to talk about is who's familiar with the movie and or book The Warriors?
No. Oh, the gosh. Movie? It's a crazy.
No, really? The older folks don't know it?
I'm surprised. I was about to say, this is our generation.
We talked about this before, yeah. But that is the next project by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
A wild choice, by the way.
Crazy choice.
Wild choice. And I think the movie's 70s, right?
It's 70s. Yeah. My roommate was in it. He had a featured featured extras role.
It's a wild.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of great.
It's basically the story of gangs in New York, and one gang was falsely accused of other gangs of killing the gangs, and they had to get from I don't know, wherever they were in Brooklyn to their home turf in Queens or the Bronx.
It's pretty intense. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
It's an interesting thing for a musical.
Of all the things out there. But
So that's it. And that's, and it's, so the way it's going to start is it's not going to be a production. It's going to be a concept album.
I think that's great.
And they already have names attached to it, but they're not announcing them.
Well.
But so I'm assuming it can be some of the usual suspects.
I mean, it must have been very hard for Lin to ask people and them to say yes.
I know. He
must have been calling in a lot of favors. I mean, how many times was he calling and in that Rolodex? It must have been difficult.
All right. Well, let's listen to a little bit of Merrily We Rode Along as we go to break, and we'll hear a little bit of Old Friends, because the three of them are indeed old friends. We will be right back.
Hey, old friend.
We are back. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. The team is back better than ever.
Was that a ding saying, Lisa and Nicole, you're awesome? Was that the message you just got?
That's exactly what it is. It's from Lin-Manuel Miranda asking us to perform on that concept album.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. Did you let him know our people will get back to his
I will indeed. Okay. Let's reintroduce the folks that we've already introduced, just because we like to say names twice, because these are all the people from Magnolia Musical Theater. We have the artistic director of Magnolia Musical Theater, and I guess the founder of the organization as well, Mr. Andrew Cannata.
Hello.
And the director of Footloose, Mr. Rick Romer.
Hello there.
And then we have Jacob Bryan, who's one of the performers. Tanner Trigg.
Hello.
With that name that we love. Emily Begley.
Hiya.
And Lydia Margitza.
Margitza, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm just so nervous. We spent about 15 minutes before we went on the air talking about the pronunciation.
You've rolled it out a few times. I'm a little impressed.
Just
going to state this fact when I said earlier, all the greatest movies came out in 1984. Footloose would be one of those. Wasn't lying when I said it was a good year.
Rick Romer, tell us about this show. What is it?
You know what? This is a show about redemption and forgiveness. And it's kind of a mashup of a jukebox musical and a kind of a serious book musical mashed together.
An SBM, we call those.
Okay. Sounds kind of nasty, those of us but I'll in go the business. With you on that.
Yeah.
No, but the ultimate message is it's about redemption and forgiveness. And that's what the whole show's leading up to.
Awesome. I'm guessing many people are familiar with the movie. I've never seen the musical, so I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, just like
me. And Andrew, talk about, so this is the second season of Magnolia Summer Musicals.
Yes,
Beauty and the Beast last year.
Yes.
For your inaugural production. So why Footloose this year?
Well, actually, we did a audience survey last year where we
listed... AS.
We listed... I really love these abbreviations. Keep them coming. We did an audience survey where we picked five shows that we realistically thought we could get the rights for and thought would be a good way to gauge what our audience really wanted to see. It turns out that the first choice wasn't available, but the second choice, Footloose, was.
And do so tell us what great. The first choice was.
The first choice was actually Elf.
Oh, not available.
We wanted
in July, it's not available?
Exactly. That's yeah. what we thought as
I wonder
well,
why.
Because everybody doing Christmas in July, or they just
wanted to
or
do.
They want to keep it seasonal?
I think it's just a seasonal thing, and they have a tour that goes on every year. So
it's also rumored to come back to Broadway right now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Little Jobs has some listings up.
There's something I want to say, but I don't know if it's okay
I
for the air,
I don't think you
so
can
I'm
say
not
it.
Say
yeah,
it.
You can. Oh. Well, that's interesting. What were you, just out of curiosity, what were the other three?
Into the Woods.
Heard of that one.
Xanadu. Annie. Oh, yeah. That was it. Oh, well, you asked for three, I guess.
Interesting.
Tour, so I know why
Xanadu
Annie.
Opened on this date, by the way.
Uh-huh. Did it?
Yes, it did. We're going to talk about it in Today in Theater
and
History.
My friend James was supposed to be in it and broke his ankle, and that's why Cheyenne went in instead.
Yeah, I know.
And we got...
Don't I know
Cheyenne
it?
In the
love
world.
James. I think James
but
should
it was
have
James
it.
Carpinello.
Is it James Earl Jones?
James Carpinello.
He would have been good in Xanadu.
Right? He's good in everything.
He's
the really
Tony
a good roller
Saturday
skater.
Night
you don't.
Too.
A lot of people
funny.
Don't know
I
that.
I want to see him as Ren.
okay. Well, let's. Lydia,
you got to cut.
You
loose.
Are playing Vimore.
I am. Yes.
Or Vimmer.
Vimmer, yes, Vimmer Moore.
Tell us about your character.
Sure. So Vi is Ariel's mother. And when Rick was talking a minute ago about the two kind of mashup thing about being a serious book musical, I feel like Vi gets to be a part of that. Like mm-hmm. she really has a big part in this story of grief and redemption and forgiveness. And yeah, she's just trying to hold her family together. She's married to the Reverend in town.
Who isn't?
Of course. And and yeah, I think she gets put in a hard place a lot of times throughout the musical, just trying to be there for her daughter, but also trying to be the, you know, the obedient preacher's wife in the 80s. So and trying to toe the line of when is it okay to step out and say something and when should she kind of take a step back. And so yeah, she goes
so I don't think it's a spoiler to say that we don't like dancing in this town, right. Is that correct?
That is
absolutely
correct,
not.
Yes.
And where does Vi sit on that? Was she likes in lockstep with hubby?
I mean, I think that she kind of has to be with hubby, but I don't know, I have this idea that she really is like on the inside, she just really wants to get out and dance, but she's got to, you know, she's got to toe the line. She's got to know her place. So she supports her hubby. She might, though, at some point, kind of step out and yeah. not so
you
much.
You never know.
So,
it is a musical.
Yeah, yeah.
And Emily, you are playing the daughter, Ariel.
Yes.
Tell us about Ariel.
Ariel is the stereotypical preacher's daughter.
She's not a mermaid, is she?
Uh-uh.
Okay, just want to make sure.
No. She is desperate to get out of this small town, and she also is just, she's processing her grief alone, which is very interesting because everyone went through this tragedy, which in the musical, the tragedy is, of course, four kids died, and that's sort of the context, yep. And they went off the bridge, and that's why, you know, the town's not allowed to dance, and one of the kids ends up being Ariel's brother, and so she's kind of processing her grief by herself, even though everyone went through this event, and so she's definitely in her rebellious phase. She's desperate to get out of the town, and she's pushing the line with her parents the whole show, which is really fun. And then when Ren comes into the picture, she finds this person who is sort of, I think, like a beacon of light for her and a sort of like someone to hope for and someone to hold on to. And I think that drives her through the show.
And a rebel.
Exactly.
And Ren is being played by Jacob Bryan.
Yes. Hello.
Tell us about Ren.
Yeah.
Are you solo or are you with Stimpy?
I'm sorry.
Never mind.
Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy. I went somewhere that even I don't know what it means. So tell us about Ren.
Lisa, just keep dating us more and more, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, so Ren's a pretty cool guy. He lived in Chicago with his mom and dad.
Yeah.
And then his dad, right before the musical starts, decides to leave. And he never really tells Ren why. His parents sort of keep him out of it. So he's filled with all this anger and this like shame about the whole situation, and he has to uproot his life in this fun, bustling city where he dances pretty much every day and move to this small town where it's illegal. And he really struggles the whole show with like being seen and being heard and not being walked all over. I think that's like a tie-in to the whole family situation. But it's really just a story about how, like, he gathers everybody around him to sort of rally for their freedom and for the right to dance, and it's really cool.
Amazing. And very Tanner, you were playing Willard Hewitt.
Yes, I am the Stimpy to his Ren.
Uh-huh. Oh, there you go. Finally, we get a Stimpy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm Willard. He's described in the book as a hayseed in a hat, so I think that pretty much sums up
Willard's
his character.
That, oddly enough, that was my sorority name in college.
Oh, yeah, it's great. He's more of the comedic relief of the show, but he's a very simple character and very genuine on the inside. And the beauty of his character is he's kind of the antithesis of Ren, and it's kind of like polar opposites. And then eventually throughout the show, they become the best friends. So a lot of my scenes in the show are with Jake, and the comedic timing for both of us is always just so fun to be able to play, and it's always fun to do our numbers and stuff together.
Wonderful. Well, speaking of numbers, y'all are going to do one, are you not?
Yeah.
Yes.
So does this number need to be set up in any way?
I'm going to give a microphone to one of you that needs a microphone.
It's actually a smash-up of three.
It's a smash-up. We call those medleys in the business.
We call those medleys or smash-ups. Do you have an acronym for them?
M's.
Okay, the M's. I got it.
But that's not an acronym. As you know, it's an initialism.
One letter acronym. Yeah. That's perfect. But yeah, you're going to hear three different songs from the show.
Great.
That we think are very powerful. The first is going to be from Lydia, who's playing Vi. And then you're going to hear Tanner and his big number in Act Two. And then you're going to hear probably one of the more iconic duets from
Great.
The show.
The one,
well.
The earworm, as we like to call it. Jacob and Tanner, since y'all weren't here when I gave my spiel, if you're belting, step away from the microphone.
Perfect.
Step away from the microphone. So are y'all ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right, so this is Lydia Margitza, Emily Begley, Jacob Bryan, and Tanner Trigg doing a number from Magnolia Musical Theater's production of Footloose. Here we go.
Does it ever cross your mind that I miss you? Is there any chance we'll find the joy that we shared at the start? Can you remember what you felt before that feeling fell apart? Can you find it in your heart? Have you lost my love somewhere far behind, or can you find it in your heart?
I thought of one more thing. Now, Mama says, don't buy a chandelier unless you got a ceiling. Now I know what that one's about. Mama says, don't chew on tinfoil unless you like that feeling. Somehow she figured that out.
Salvation's not so far away.
that was gorgeous. Thank y'all. That was really, really amazing.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we just about have a minute left.
Thank you.
Obviously, there's a lot of parallels with things that are going on in this state of ours in terms of authorities not letting us do things that we should be able to do. So it's really, really timely. Y'all open tonight, yes?
Yeah.
Wow. Are y'all ready?
Yes. So
of course, you'd have to say that even if you weren't. So
they
opened
it with conviction and a smile.
They did. I have no doubt. Well, clearly, we heard that they are ready.
I know.
So this is an outdoor theater? Yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful. So that's always good. Is there rain? What happens if it rains?
Well, if it rains, we typically have a pretty good idea of whether we'll keep the show. I mean, you know, we'll always put it on social media or our website if we're going to have to cancel. But we'll know, even if it's raining during the day, we can get the stage dry. We can get the stuff ready by 7:30 p.m. If it's raining at 7:30, it's a good bet we're going
to. If not, actors love to dance on wet stages.
They really
it's their favorite.
They love it. They love that challenge.
For it. Yes.
Okay, great. So you play through August 10th. Exactly
that is
1 month. Where can folks go to get information about the show?
Magnolia MT. It stands for musicaltheater.org.
Wonderful.
All of our social media has up-to-date information as well.
Wonderful.
That's
well, thank
sauce.
Y'all all
thank
for, coming
for coming
on the show.
Thank you
all.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
That was Andrew Cannata, Rick Romer, Lydia Margitza, Emily Begley, Jacob Bryan, and Tanner Trigg of Magnolia Musical Theater's Footloose playing July 10th, which is tonight, through August 10th. For more information, you may visit magnoliamt.org. And let's go out with a little bit of Somebody's Eyes from Footloose. We'll be right back.
Never laugh too loud. Never leave.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
That was a bit of fun. We don't often get that many people singing.
No, and when it happens, it's fantastic.
It's phantasmagically.
It is. I just love when we have performances and scenes and people and.
Well, we are very fortunate to right now have in the studio with us a co-op star amongst her own right. We have Liz Ross. Formerly of, oh my God, I just forgot the name of your show. what was it?
The Sex Ed Show.
Sex Ed Show, right. Still on the board of Co-op.
Yes.
And is the founder and artistic director?
Co-founder, executive director, whatever title it wants to be. So,
you were flowing with that one. You were
right,
like,
artistic director. I mean, I'm taking over costumes now. I'm directing one of the shows. Like
you're everything, and this is of a Tubu Fest.
Yes,
which is theater for us by us.
Correct.
Who's us?
It's a festival for people with disabilities, and the plays are all written by people with disabilities. And it went from initially being a state festival to international. So we have plays by playwrights from all over the world. And it's most of the actors have disabilities themselves.
Sure.
So it's the idea was to create and promote people with disabilities and show that we are part of the community and our abilities as creative individuals. Instead of being treated as less than.
So I know that, you know, we had, which is now gone, Tilt Performance Group, and Art Spark is still around. So we have some groups that are sort of doing work around the arts and disabilities. But this is the first of its kind here in Austin. Is there another festival similar to this in the country?
No, it's the only one that exists. And that was kind of the beauty of it. I was surprised when we were coming up with the idea that...
Yeah, that's shocking.
Yeah, that is.
That really just... is shocking to me.
There is a disability film festival that is in Texas by TCDD, and Art Spark is our fiscal sponsor, a lot of the people involved, Kristen, our co-founder, is also from Tilt.
Right.
So when that disbanded, we were like, we got to do something because a lot of these people are brokenhearted that we don't have a replacement, and we wanted to kind of build it differently. So
this I love is, everything this, about that.
Me too. This is a 3-day theater festival of short plays.
Yes.
And you, how many plays do you have over those 3 days?
5 per day, and they're all different. So it's not a repeat each day. It is the first day is 5 different ones than the next day. And so a total of 15 different plays, mm-hmm. ranging from about 10 to 25 minutes. And they're really wonderful and ranging from some absurd play, absurdist type of plays to really thought-provoking, dramatic or comedic pieces that have that really make you think. Some of them brought up topics that I had never even talked about before or right. thought about, and really just were heart-wrenching for us, but really powerful.
We only have about a minute left, but tell us, do you have a, I don't want to say that you have a favorite, but can you talk about one of the pieces that excites you that's coming up?
I think a really powerful one is Escape from the 10th Floor, and it talks about what happens whenever there's a fire alarm and people have mobility needs
sure.
and the elevator is no longer working. They pretty much get abandoned on the 10th floor or whatever floor above the first, and everybody doesn't think about that. And it kind of goes through what happens when the fire department has to come and get a specific chair to be able to take them down. And that chair might be one per building.
Sure. What night is that?
That one is, I believe, Friday night. And then I'm directing one that's Saturday night.
Wonderful. So that's amazing. And, you know, certainly things that those of us who are able-bodied take that kind of stuff for granted.
Indeed.
So we don't even think
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely.
And so we are, you are having... all the performances are ASL interpreted.
And audio description.
And audio description is available or going to happen.
Correct.
So that's wonderful. And it's playing at Ground Floor Theater, which right. is physically accessible to folks. So,
right.
So good. Well, that is amazing. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
They can go to tubufest.com.
Right.
And they can, that's where they have the whole list of shows in the order for each night as well, so they can get the whole show schedule as well.
Sure. And tell us the dates again.
It is July 18th through 20th at the Ground Floor Theater.
At the Ground Floor. I've heard of that place.
Just doors open at 6 o'clock. Show starts at 7.
Wonderful. Well, Liz, thank you so much for coming. And I happen to know that Co-op will be in our lobby.
Absolutely.
So you'll come and see some of the DJs from Co-op who will
People
be in the lobby.
You hear on the radio.
Amazing.
That's them.
Liz, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you again.
Great to see you. That was Liz Ross of TUBU Festival, Theater for Us, By Us. It is happening July 18th through 20th. For more information, you may visit tubufest.com. And going out, we're going to have a little bit of music from...
I love this.
How to Dance in Ohio.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Then you suddenly gave me the chance to find the guts.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We've just got a jam-packed show today with lots of stuff going on. Before we start talking about what's happening locally, we were just joined by some new people that just came
more
in here.
People.
I don't know who's who because I don't know either of these people. Jacob Schatz?
Schatz, yes.
Schatz. Okay, see, that was a...
Oh, and you know me.
And I know Ty McLeod.
McLeod.
See, don't know how to pronounce your name. You're spelling it incorrectly then.
No, that's really how you spell it.
I know. You let me be me, okay?
You be you. I don't want to change you.
Yeah, don't yuck my yum. Before we talk about your show, we're going to talk about what's happening locally here.
Okay. Give us the scoop.
What's
happening in the Austin?
I don't have anything specific that I'm highlighting this week. Although I do want to just talk about what's going on at Ground Floor Theater opening tonight is Getting in Bed with the Pizza Man.
With one Katie Folger. Coldy, starring,
right?
Starring, written, and directed by our friend Matrix Kilgore.
Matrix Kilgore, and that is at Ground Floor Theater, and it's tonight through Saturday.
It is.
And they were guests on the show last week, so...
They were, and you and Katie are side by side in the Best of Chronicle.
Yeah,
for director and actress. You're side by side there, both of you.
We're side by side.
Like, look at those mugs. I love those people.
Yep, so that's something you can get information there at groundfloortheater.org or katiefolger.com. So that's happening. So here are the other things going on. Exit Strategy is still playing through the 14th. Getting in Bed with the Pizza Man, we just talked about. It is tonight through the 13th. Roaring, last chance to see Roaring for Archive Theater. I've been hearing good things about that. Also through the 14th. TUBU Festival, we just talked to them. That's happening next weekend, the 18th through the 20th. Vortex has got The Child of Aphrodite from the 11th through the 14th. AISD has got Shrek the Musical playing over at the Performance Center from the 18th through the 20th. Oh, I'm just running out of breath right now. We're going to talk to them in just a second, but we have Long Day's Journeying Tonight by City Theater happening on the 19th through August 4th. We just spoke to the folks at Footloose. Footloose! Everybody cut Footloose! Okay, thank you. This is why I don't sing. That is opening tonight through August 10th. Legally Blonde, who I believe is coming on next week, is playing from the 12th through August 17th.
That's Friday.
And then Charlie's Golden Girls. You get another chance to see that over at Cold Town by La Fenice, happening the 12th through the 14th.
There's some stuff happening.
What did I miss? We missed the Lehman Brothers. They never came on the show, did they?
It was a limited three-week run short. That was it.
Anybody see the Lehman Brothers?
Weekend. I did not. I had a friend who auditioned for it. But
that counts.
Yeah, I know. Good stuff. But they have Beautiful coming up next.
Yes, I know. Beautiful, the Carole King musical. What did I just hear? There was I just heard a thing about a tour of Carole King. Whatever. I can't remember what it was. It was an interview with somebody that was going to be up for the role. Talked to Carole King. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, never mind. I can't remember what I'm doing. So we mentioned it before earlier that Xanadu opened on this date. Oh, sorry. Today in Theater History. I didn't say what I was going to talk
today
about.
Today in Theater History, stuff happened.
Not much.
And Lisa's going to tell us.
Not much. If y'all remember, last week we had zero openings.
Xanadu. Xanadu happened.
No, I said last week.
I know, but I'm talking about you're saying not much. And I'm like, but Xanadu.
Right. Xanadu happened in 2007. Now and as we know, James Earl Jones was in that, roller skating around.
Yep.
And then, of course, I prefer the Xanadont.
Xanadont. There is a Xanadont.
I know there's a Xanadont.
I know.
I don't make
there
things
is
up.
For real. People are like, huh? What? No, there really is a Xanadu.
It is the birthday of one Jerry Herman.
Oh, that's a good person.
He was born in 1931.
He went somewhere.
He did. He went somewhere.
And Jerry had a good career.
Very good friend of mine was in the original Jerry's Girls.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's it. My friend Sarah Miles. Not the Sarah Miles. Different Sarah Miles. Interestingly enough, my friend Sarah Miles had to change the spelling of her name because of the other Sarah Miles. Do y'all know who I'm talking about, Sarah Miles?
Yeah, your Sarah Miles.
No, the other Sarah Miles.
I don't know.
Famous
actress.
Well,
that was like the whole Vanessa Williams.
Just like that. What's the fascinating? I don't know the Vanessa Williams.
Well, there's Vanessa Williams that we know like Vanessa Williams. Mm-hmm. And then there was when Melrose first came out, there's an actress on there that's Vanessa Williams, and they had to argue, and one had to add the K. Vanessa K and Vanessa K. But there are two Vanessa Williams.
Okay.
It's like, just how it rolls.
There you go.
Shout out to Michael R. Jackson. Vanessa Williams
all
in the world.
All the other Vanessa Williams in the world.
No, there can only be one.
So also born in 1889 was Noble Sissel.
That's a name, and I don't know Noble.
No, I don't either.
Was he Noble?
I think he was. Fiona Shaw's birthday. And is the birthday of one Emily Skeks.
Aww.
She hasn't done anything recently,
Emily,
has she?
Really? No. But you know that's what? We just put it out in the universe. So we'll probably hear about something she's about to go
work on. Now she will get something. And so let's take a little break and let's listen to Emily Skeks from Fun Home singing Changing My Major to Joan.
Oh, that's another good fun song. Look at you picking some good ditties today.
We'll be right back.
I got so excited, I was
and
too
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Nicole. It's been
Hello.
So long since I've said that. I'm so happy to say
three
that.
3 weeks. It's only been 3 weeks.
I think it's
but
been four,
I love
but we'll
that
talk
you feel
it.
That it's a lifetime.
So we have from City Theaters, production of Long Day's Journey Tonight by one Eugene O'Neill.
Who is that Mr. O'Neill?
Jacob. Oh, boy,
it.
You helped me with the pronunciation.
Shots.
Shots. Okay. It looks like Shats to me.
It
so
does.
I'm sorry.
You're in good company.
And Ty McLeod.
Yeah.
Yay.
Look at
so
you.
So y'all are in this four-hander known as Long Day's Journey in Tonight. What's this show about? Never heard of it.
Well, it is a long day's journey in tonight.
There you go.
With that 3.5-hour long runtime.
It's
are y'all doing the whole show?
We are.
Of course.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah. There was no hesitation there. There was, of course.
Yeah, there's no way that you could do A Long Day's Journey truncated. Not with our director. She is a stickler for the literary Sneed. Theater classics. That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's awesome because Long Day's Journey tonight is regarded as, you know, one of the greatest American plays ever
Absolutely.
Written.
If not the greatest American play ever yeah. written.
Yeah, and it was heavily inspired by the writings of Chekhov and Ibsen, so it really introduced that theatrical realness that, you know, Russia had kind of pioneered. And O'Neill had written it about his family and his experiences and actually never intended for the play to even be produced. The play was supposed to be released actually 20 years after he died, but his wife had other plans and released it, I think, 2 or 3 years later.
That's
crazy.
So I'm guessing, I do not know, because we did not talk ahead of time, that one of you is playing Edmund.
That would be Ty.
And the other is playing Jamie, I believe is his name.
That's correct.
Which is James Jr. And the other two characters are James and Mary. Mary's got a little bit of a substance abuse problem. She's the mom, right?
Yes, and you could argue that every character has a bit of a substance abuse problem.
True. This is true. So tell us about Edmund.
Well, Edmund's really interesting because he was based on Eugene O'Neill himself. But the thing about Edmund is he's extremely sensitive. He's dealing with an illness, but also the breakdown of his family. He's really the peacekeeper, and he does everything in his power to kind of keep the family coherent and together, and deals with all the challenges along the way. From, you know, I kind of think he has a special child syndrome. So you see that.
SCS.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting because it's such a complex character, and it was one of the reasons why I really jumped at the chance to play this character, because Edmund has, you know, this anger and angst in him, this existential dread about, you know, life. He's an atheist. And then he gets this news that he's sick later on in the play. I'm not going to spoil what it is, but he already has a good indication that something is very wrong. And then with the added drama of his family collapsing on itself, it only escalates the tension between him and his family.
Yep. Okay, and so you play Jamie, the brother, somewhat of a souse.
I do, that is correct.
Yep.
Jamie has been a fascinating role for me to tackle. When Karen first offered me the role, there was a part of me that immediately thought, really, me? Like, I'm generally seen as kind of happy-go-lucky, best friend energy type. And to play a character who is very cynical and very depressed, the research that I've done just for the role has led me to a lot of great books, a lot of great performances. And one of the most remarkable things for me is in trying to get into this character's head. There was one evening where I was standing before the bathroom mirror. Now, I'm somebody whose voice inside his head is often very kind to him. Some might say too kind. But one evening, I was looking in that mirror, and it switched, and I heard my voice talk to me very rudely, very cruelly. And that clicked for me because I realized, wow, that's what Jamie is dealing with all the time. And it affected me just for a moment, but to deal with that all the time and to explore the character from that sort of, I think that was the crossing the Rubicon moment for me as an actor in the show. And it has made tackling the latent alcoholism and, or as one of my friends put it, in learning how to play a cynic, is remember that a cynic is a failed romantic at heart. And I thought, oh God, this hurts, and Jamie and I are both the exact same age, so I'm looking at him.
When you said that, you're like, it hurts, but you were really smiling.
It hurts so good.
You guys are calling me out. You're seeing something deep.
It's true. So all four of these characters are like incredibly flawed humans.
Very much so.
Aren't we?
Dad
all,
is a kind of a has-been actor, and Mom, as we said, has got some morphine issues. Correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's a good look at, you know, one of the first examples of a dysfunctional American family before that kind of became a trend. With
yeah. Now
narrative.
It's just normal. That's yeah. It's now just called becoming a family.
I think it's because the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nowadays, we just call it Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Or in my family, we call it Passover. So with this production, you know, it takes place in
1912.
Are we keeping it in 1912?
Yes, ma'am.
Period?
Yes, it's we've kept it period specific. In fact, there was really, if you know Karen, no other choice. The play originally published in the 1950s, so even then there's a very nostalgic energy to the piece. And then performing it, you know, over 100 years after the fact, sure. There is so much to be said about the ways in which we've examined the breath that a person from that era might have spoken in. What exactly was being... just what was central to the American identity for people, whether they're in their 30s like Jamie, 20s like Edmund, or older and sort of moving into the late stages of their life. The world was so different then, and so we are looking for those connecting fibers to the moment that we're in and seeing how the family unit has evolved from that moment, but also being really honest to what it was like at the turn of the 20th century.
That is amazing. And so one of the things that, you know, I did a production of this years ago in the 70s, but these characters and the work you're doing as actors, it's really a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And working in these characters who are, all of them are flawed, all of them have issues. What are y'all doing to take care of yourself as you go through this rehearsal process?
Nothing.
Well, that's a very good question, Lisa.
Getting drunk every night.
Well, no, we know really that's not true.
No. I mean, again, this is the reason why I was so attracted to Edmund. I've actually had experience with some of his material beforehand. There are just so many layers to each of these characters. And I was kind of looking through the script last night and was getting the impression that, you know, the longer the play goes on, the more peels come back on the onion. You know, you just get deeper and deeper and deeper to the core. And I think that's really interesting for an actor to play because it allows you to kind of examine that motivating drive and force and watch how that motivation just kind of pulls you through everything. And you just see all these different layers and all this skin just continues to get shed until finally, you know, the conflict everyone's been avoiding kind of just meets in the middle and explodes. But even in the turmoil and the pain of, you know, the family actually being honest with each other for once, there comes this peace. And I think that's because for the first time, they're actually connecting with each other, which is weird because, you know, normally you would think connection is like a soft, tender moment. But with these characters, just by allowing themselves to be visceral and angry with one another and express their true intentions, it's really that connection. And I think that's kind of, you know, one of the silver linings of the play, even though it's kind of morbid, as I guess Papa would say.
You and your morbid poetry. Well,
we are just about out of time. We know that Karen Sneed is directing it. Who's playing Tyrone and Mary?
Tyrone is being played by Scott Papa, and Mama is being played by...
It's Kara, but I don't know her last name.
It's McGregor.
Kara McGregor.
There you go. I wish I could have helped you, but I did not write that down. When do y'all open?
We open July 19th, and we run through August 4th. Right. Friday, Saturday, night shows, and then, of course, there's a matinee on Sunday.
Right, and this is the Genesis Theater Collective, where City Theater's home is now. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Best place to go is going to be citytheateraustin.org?
Yep.
.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Yeah,
thank you very much for having us.
Yes,
wonderful. Exactly. That was Jacob Schatz and Ty McLeod of City Theater's performance of Long Day's Journey Tonight, playing July 19th through August 4th. For more information, you may visit citytheateraustin.org. And from Kiss of the Spider Woman, in honor of Mary, we're going to play the Morphine Tango. Ah! We will be right back.
First you take your arm and stick it out. Then you take a tube you twist about. Pull it tight until you find a nice blue vein. And then you take two fingers at the...
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air.
The music is not so good.
I know.
But, you know, it's Kander and Ab and Mr. T-Mac. Mr. Terrence McNally did the book and... That's a great musical.
Terrence McNally was in the news today. I almost talked about him.
Talking about his awesome sauce.
Just about that. Yep. Yeah. Well, good. It's so fun to play with you again. You're here with us for at least another week, yes?
I believe I will be here.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Before you go on jaunt on your next thing with our Morgan
Field
Reporter.
Field Reporter into school. She's going to be reporting.
Where's she going to college?
University of Miami.
University of Miami. We love that
double
place.
Major with a minor.
A DM.
Yep.
With an M.
Yep.
Great.
Smart cookie, that one.
Yep. Well, it was great to have you back. I know you think it's 3 weeks. It's 4 weeks. I will prove it to you next week.
Okay. I don't think so, but okay.
You know, every time you're not here, it chunks
July
off another
3rd,
year of my life.
I wasn't here on June 26th. I was in the city. And then the week before was my grandmama. I was here. And the week before was my grandmother's funeral. I had it in between there.
All right. Next week, next up is Tracy Schultz with What's New, the incomparable Mr. Tracy Schultz.
Tracy. He's
and I cannot
on.
Play. I cannot. I don't. I'm surprised that I've not played anything from the show before, which I haven't. This is from Limpika.
I thought we have. We really haven't played any. We've talked about Limpika.
We talk about
a
it
lot
ad nauseum. Yes. Yeah. But now we're going to hear a little piece of music. This is called "I Will Paint Her," sung by the incomparable Eden Espinosa. And we will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye.
Okay.
Heart stop! Am I losing my mind? She's just a woman who's pretty. But she's flesh and she's chrome, she is steel, she is bone. Her eyes looked right through me like nothing.